Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. We got 2 hours of the best, the coolest stuff, just like very cool. Yeah, we're going to start off with the who do. Remember when I used to say, Benny, remember when once upon a time, 16 years ago, like when I didn't know anything about anything, and I pretty much still don't. Remember when I used to say tarot and I would be like tarot. The tarot cards.
In the very, very beginning.
Very, very beginning,
and
right?
You were set to put into the right alignment shortly after that.
That's right, right. Yeah, alignment. Okay. Because you only get away with, like, saying tarot, like, a couple of times before people are like,
that's not a parrot.
Like, who the heck?
Not a carrot.
Yeah, they're like, this is not a tarot.
Nope.
This is not a tarot.
Nope.
But we have evolved, and so has the art. You know, today, the Hoodoo Tarot 78 card deck and book for root workers, we're going to talk with somebody that knows a bit about this. I'm going to introduce her in a moment. We scared her pretty much almost into not coming on when, like, she's like, wait a minute, is this like a video? Are we, like, doing a video? And I'm like, well, we could, but not today. We do video. And so we have a great show lineup. But what we're doing here is we're elevating in 2020. We're elevating. And so are other people. And so are all of you as listeners. You know, there's something about the energy of things that is calling all of us to come out, to step out, you know, to be in the realm of things that we're not normally in the realm of. Tiana Lee McQuiller is joining me here today. And, you know, I know another Tiana, and we just do Tay, but today it's Tiana Lee McQuiller joining me here today, a tarot reader, a researcher of religion, esoterica, and mysticism, and has been and is bringing to the forefront something that is so perfect for the time and the day and the age we live in. And when we discover parts of ourselves along the way to being ourselves, something magical happens, something mystical happens. And that's what we're discovering early in 2020. So today, we're going to be look at root work, American root work, what the tradition is. What is it about these traditions that are so embedded in African and indigenous American ethnic groups, as well as European influences? What is it about roots, who each of us are, that is so important? And I know, Benny, for me, earth-shattering, but not so much, but earth-shattering for my other family members was when the internet exploded over a period of time and people could look up their ancestry, just saying. And we started to look up my grandpa and found out where grandpa was really born, where that family came from. We discovered, aha, we just need to come out of the closet about who we are, what we bring forward from a historical, multi-generational perspective, stand tall and proud, and bring it on. That's what today's show is about. That's what we're talking about when we discover the essence of energetically knowing that we are absolutely amazing. Tiana, did I get you right? Did I get your name right? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, you got it right. It's Tiana, yes.
Tiana, there we go. So my friend who I did a music video with back last year, which is going to come out, his name is Tay. And so I apologize for doing that. But I must say, Benny will tell you, I'm known for mispronunciation. You know, look, I'm a girl from the Bronx. I didn't study any of this. You can you feel me on this? And actually, to be in a music
easier, you can
video.
Call me
okay.
It's okay.
I mean, it's just, it's kind of like, look at us two, right? How do we get here? Let's talk about this. How do we get here? How did you get here? And usually I ask a question like this. How did you get here? And I just got to ask you, what kind of hurdles, obstacles, challenges, what the heck did you have to climb over to get you right here to this very moment here with us?
Oh, gosh. Well, my first book about hoodoo was called Root Work, The Folk Magic of Black America. And I wrote that when I was still in college. I didn't have a degree yet. So I had a student advisor at the time that was pretty overbearing. And and she kind of tried to force me to say what, or rather repeat what a lot of anthropologists have said already about hoodoo, and hoodoo hasn't really gotten a lot of press. It just was cast off as ignorant superstitions of Negroes, and wasn't really dealt with seriously. But at any rate, yeah, so that was a big challenge for me when I first wrote the first book, because it wasn't academic, because it couldn't be considered academic, because I did not have a BA or anything yet, but I was just really, really smart.
I know, me too.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a challenge, and I felt a lot of pressure being in my 20s, my early 20s at the time, and so that was a lot, and there were a lot of things that I felt that, like for example, just calling it magic or folk magic or something, you know, these are all terms that were kind of imposed on, you know, culture. And I didn't want to do it, but I also wanted to get my degree and I wanted to please my professors and, you know, other people that were cheering me on and trying to get me scholarships and things like that. So I had to, like, deal with a lot of pressure of outsiders kind of defining the tradition. And that's always a challenge, I think. So the reason why I wrote this book is to kind of set the record straight. I no longer have anyone kind of breathing down my neck, telling me what it has to be or how I have to sound or how I have to describe things. And it feels really great. So this is a completely independent effort and a completely honest effort. And I just wanted to do that. And also because, like you said, you know, the internet, I mean, it just exploded. It wasn't like that in 2003 when the first book came out. You know, so there's a ton of misinformation because kind of everything witchy, everything esoteric, everything has gone pop, which is not the first time in American culture, you know, where everything occult is sexy again. But I felt that because it was almost 20 years since I wrote the first book, I should chime in again, you know, now that there are different platforms and there are especially younger people that are interested in the tradition.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Because 2003, like, that's the deal. That's like when I dial, like, the wrong phone number. Right. And that's when this all started. And I did start on an internet show in 2003. And I'm telling you, I paid a lot of money for it. My friends thought I lost my mind. But there was something about it that felt really right about what was happening and what we were doing. But you're right about this. I'm telling you, like, it is a phenomenon now.
Right.
About how witches are bringing the sexy back. I mean, if think about it, how many shows can you go on, like Netflix, or go on any of sort of the digital cable platforms? And there's another show that's popping up every season, every day about this, right? They don't call them witches per se, although there is one called that. But there's a new understanding, I think. And let's talk about the new understanding that you've embedded into your work. There's a new understanding. How would you describe that new understanding in terms of root workers and hoodoo?
I'm not really sure what you're asking. Are you asking like how things have developed, the conversation?
Yeah, how the conversation has developed. Because I don't know about you or what you're finding. I'm finding people are open to things these days that if you go back even 10 years, and boy, go back to 2003, not so much.
Absolutely not. You're talking about people that, I mean, I can't believe, I'm just astonished by like how many like experts have popped up just in the last 2 years, let alone since 2003. Like, you're absolutely right. I mean, the media is saturated with it. It's a multi-million dollar industry, the new age industry. And, you know, I mean, root work is just kind of come back with a vengeance. People, it's not a tradition that was spoken about with strangers. Even people in your own family wouldn't speak to you about it if it wasn't your path, you know? Yeah. And because it's kind of treated sort of like just a hodgepodge of beliefs that anyone can kind of jump in on, I think it's much more vulnerable even than other traditions, magical traditions that have a fixed set of initiates or elders that can just like come out and say, hey, you know, this is not right. Even though nobody's listening anyway, everybody's kind of just jumping on the bandwagon. But yeah, that the conversation has changed in that way, in that it is a conversation. People did, especially Black people, did not speak about this outside of our communities. Absolutely not, because it could cost you your life.
Yeah,
it
that's
could
right.
cost you a hell of a lot. Okay.
Right.
And it could cost you your social circle, depending on, you know, where you lived and how conservative, you know, your community was. But this is just not something that was just volunteered. And I actually had great opposition from my family. Some people are still pissed that I'm writing about it. It's just
You're
not
kidding?
Something that you do.
Yeah. They don't even talk to me anymore. Hello. Like, first of all, they said, how are you not dead or in jail? They want to know that. They want to know, like, how did you even get off the streets being homeless, you know, and you're actually alive? They were shocked. But this is bold, that what you're doing.
Right. I mean, I thought it was bold in 2003. I mean, I mean, you know, right now it's just sort of like it's just so much going on and so many more academics have gotten interested in it as well. Before, you know, it was recorded by kind of hipsters in the 20s that were kind of bothering old Black people for stories. And my grandmother actually told me, she's like, oh, a lot of that stuff, they just told them whatever they wanted to hear. You know what I mean? You know, you just didn't give up the goods. It just didn't happen. So yeah, that's how the conversation has changed, is that there is a conversation, and then there's a conversation with anybody feeling like they can chime in on it, which is pretty insulting. It's just the sense of entitlement from people that are not of this lineage that feel like they can just kind of jump in to the tradition and also define it for the people who lived it. It's just amazing to me. So that's
amazing to me. So I'm going to tell you a short story. Then I'm going to talk about your book, right? The Hoodoo Tarot. This is a short story. So how does a girl like me from the Bronx even know what hoodoo root work is? How do I know that? I mean, yes, I've read your book, but this is why I couldn't wait to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
I play a little sport called table tennis. Okay, don't laugh. Okay. I know you're laughing, right?
Like, I didn't expect
I'm being interviewed by a ping pong player. Oh, no. But my coach, and I'm going to tell you the year, okay? Now you're going to laugh again, but I'm going to tell you the year. You weren't even born. 1973, 74, and 75 in New Jersey. My coach lived in New York. He was the national champion of Ghana, Africa. He was my coach, and very unusual for Sam to coach a woman. He was a national champion of Ghana. His parents were very firm in their traditions. 1974 is when I first heard these terms. Now, in 1974, if you can imagine him and I going anywhere together, right?
Mm-hmm.
This beautiful black man, right? And talking in public about these traditions, and Ghana is one of the places. I don't claim to know a whole lot about it, but what I was intrigued by, and I'd love for you to comment on this, was the way he talked about the spiritual rituals and traditions and foundations. And for me, it became sort of a way that he and I worked together. And I wanted you to comment on this because it isn't anything I have talked about since 1975.
Oh, wow.
And when I read your book and I started to look at these West African, well, it probably more than that, but I'm limited in my knowledge. I was so thrilled you're bringing this level of earth connection back. What does this become and mean to you? And isn't it super important to help us all connect again?
Well, I mean, the problem of, I guess, contemporary life, especially for people, mm-hmm. those of us living in major cities and hustle and bustle, is just this disenchantment. And that's why I believe that, you know, people are so hungry for, you know, studying like earth-based traditions and kind of looking back. Because, and also the fact that the earth is in peril, and, you know, we've lost so many species, and, you know, there are just so many things that we've lost in our hunger for a so-called advancement. We're losing the fundamental meaning of what it means to be alive.
Yeah.
I felt that I needed to bring people home, wherever home is. And, you know, it's just, it's very hard for me to sometimes articulate. But yeah, it's really important to solidify yourself in your land, in your, wherever you are, wherever you're sitting right now, who lived there? What was life like for those people there? What energies are in those spaces? And, you know, it's just sort of, kind of a divorce of spirituality from just place, just locale.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to somebody the other day when I was at the Hudson River, and they just were looking at me like I had three heads because I mentioned that the Hudson River was like a major like highway for indigenous people, and corn was grown on the edges. And,
right.
You know, and I mean, there are people that had lives there, and there's a spiritual imprint there. So yeah, I really feel it's very, very important. And this book is also very special because my grandmother, you know, she's the one that, you know, kind of never let it go. You know, after the Great Migration, a lot of Black Americans moved from the South, and they moved to the big city, and they wanted to be seen as, you know, sophisticated. They wanted a fresh start. And so a lot of our traditions were kind of left behind, and people were ridiculed for continuing their love of land and, you know, nature. And, you know, these are all things that were considered kind of backwards, and, you know, and people would actually call you that in your family, you know. And it's almost similar to, you know, how second generation immigrants feel when they, you know, like from what I've heard from people, you know, that their parents, you know, always are always trying to like get them to embrace where they came from and their traditions and things, but they want to just blend in. Well, actually, the opposite kind of happened with Black Americans. It's like our parents told us to forget, you know, a lot of us told us to forget about it. Just move on. Just we're citified now. Just let it go, you know.
Yeah.
But some of us didn't. Some of us had grandparents that continued to share old stories and share who in the family did what and things of that nature. And because we still have that, a lot of our families have that shame factor, with hoodoo, with all kinds of different traditions. That's why they don't want us to have this conversation. And like I said, why some family members are still upset with me for speaking publicly about it.
You're absolutely right about that, because, you know, I remember this with Sam, and I have to tell you that, and I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about the book as well, because what you have created here, two things for me personally. One is we have to dispel the myth around what people think this is and what it isn't, and especially around the Hoodoo Tarot. So there's these things, these stories that we make up that aren't true, right?
Right.
I mean, we're totally living in a culture now where, so many things that are not true, right? But what you're doing in my eyes is you're really bringing back, you know, the wisdom of a culture. You're bringing back the wisdom, from my perspective, of some very powerful, powerful rituals and practices. So powerful that it's so special in its essence and the connection to the earth and the plants and the trees and the roots. And I mean, it is the very fundamental nature of who we are. And boy, haven't we forgotten that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people are sick. I mean, we're like we're like way up there in the world in terms of antidepressants. I mean, people just want to escape in any way. I mean, it's just, you know, modern life is so soul crushing for so many people. And I honestly believe that that is the problem. I mean, I don't think we weren't meant to just be cooped up in the house or in buildings all day. I'm not romanticizing the past at all. I'm definitely not one of those people.
Right.
But I will say that is something that's just fundamental, again, to human existence, to get sunshine and fresh air and to have time for your family and things like that. And these traditions are powerful in essence because they are cemented in family and land. It's nothing more powerful than those connections to your to where you live and to who you're related to. Because we're all so busy, we've been disconnected to family. So we've been disconnected for a long time since the Industrial Revolution for many of us, because, you know, America was just kind of like one big farm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our families, except for one or two holidays per year.
Or a tweet.
It's crazy.
Or some kind of tweet or some kind of text message, right?
And right.
That is so off the track of community. I don't think we're going to be able to predict the outcome and the consequences of that for decades to come. I don't think we are, because we have, I mean, this is a dehumanization of who we are, right? But when I was looking at this and what you're bringing forward in the tarot, I mean, this is about the elders and family, the community. You know, and I think what you've done here is, in such a beautiful way, is you're bringing forth a tradition and in the cards and in the book that educates us, but more importantly, reminds us. And if you're just tuning in here, folks, what I'm talking about is the Hoodoo Tarot. We're going to get really into it here in a minute. But one of the things that you're doing is it's an introduction into what some people may feel like in the very sense of who they are, but really can forget. You know, the idea of having something that uses the word community in it is almost a lost art. I want to take a short break. And before I do, though, how do people get the deck, the book? How do they find out more about you as well? Because I could just listen to you for like forever.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm pretty easy to contact on Facebook. I'm actually in jail right now, so I'll be back out of Facebook jail in March 11th because I share so much suppressed history, but that's a whole nother
story. No kidding.
Story. Yeah.
No, I get
it.
I totally get it.
Yeah. So I'm one of those people that end up in jail just for telling the truth. But anyway, you can find me on Facebook. I'm on Instagram occasionally. I was mourning my grandmother's passing, so I haven't, you know, I've been out of the loop for a while, but I'm steadily getting back into the groove. So it's just ironic that, you know, as I'm coming out of this heavy period of mourning, that, you know, that I'm doing all these interviews and things of that nature. So I'm just getting back into the fold and, you know, talking to people and things, but I'm completely accessible there. You can contact me at tlmcquillar@gmail.com. You can buy the book on Amazon directly from innertraditions.com. And I believe Barnes & Noble, your local esoteric bookstore should have it as well. And if they don't, please, please, please ask them for it.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, everybody. Tiana McQuillar joining me here today. When we come back, we are going to take a journey. We're going to take a journey that many of you may or may not remember deep, deep, deep inside. We're going to talk about the tarot deck. We're going to talk about what this means. But we're also going to talk about what the essence of this kind of connection can do to change. Because one of the things Sam taught me decades and decades and decades ago from this tradition, one of the things he taught me about, and I'm telling you, to this day, it has changed my life, is the world of possibilities. You know, how do you live in the world of possibilities? How do you tap in to that aspect of manifestation and spirituality? How do you do that? And this was for me at a very young age, you know, in an arena that I wasn't supposed to excel at, doing so. And the only dividing factor in all of that was my coach, San Hammond, born national champion, Ghana, Africa. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Are you meeting your sales goals? Or maybe your business plan could use a dose of the divine. Tune in to Divinely Driven Results with faith-based business coach Elise Smith on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Coach Elise Smith helps listeners get unstuck from their business plateau and become empowered through divine guidance. Build up belief in yourself and your dreams and learn business strategies that work for you for real lasting results. Learn more by visiting www.divinelydrivenresults.com.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at jenniferbloom.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Join Angie Corbett-Kuiper on her hit show, Beyond Grief Radio, redefining loss and grief as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that creating anything is possible, even in death. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit AngieCorbettKuiper.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasik each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. Look, Tiana McQuiller joining me here today. And however you look at this, however you talk about this, whatever that is, what I love about this conversation with Tiana is that we are here now to learn and remember why we are here now. And, you know, for me, one of the things I love about what we're talking about is this is something that is so deeply embedded in the essence of ourselves, so deeply embedded. And unfortunately, when you have these traditions, we are made sometimes to feel wrong, to feel shamed, and to not really honor the earth. And that is something we must change, because that propaganda has worked for us. Because if we don't honor the earth and we don't honor some of these traditions, then we don't really feel guilt or shame when we destroy it. Tiana, thank you for today. Let's talk about what I have in front of me right now, and that's the Hoodoo Tarot. Tell us about this and your inspiration for creating this.
Well, definitely, like I mentioned, you know, the misinformation, the plethora of misinformation was definitely a big boost, but at the most fundamental was my own growth and understanding of the subject and the freedom to discuss it, like I said, in my own terms. But also my grandmother and a couple of older people, in my family, you know, they were getting sick, and I just panicked. I said, okay, I have to do something. I can't let these libraries go in the ground, you know. I did genealogy before. I've asked for family, you know, family stories before and recorded them. But now I needed to, I was like up against the clock. So that's why you have the book in your hand right now. Is it's sort of reinvigorated me to go deeper. And I also didn't know the proper questions, I think, because like I said, the first book on hoodoo, it wasn't as comprehensive as I wanted it to be. And I also was, I guess, too young and experienced, I don't know, to ask what I needed to ask, you know, the deeper, meatier questions about family and things like that. I mean, who thinks about that at like 22? So I was just, you know, so it's just about maturity. And, you know, so I started doing this genealogy research, and my grandmother was with me on ancestry.com. She taught me so much about our lineage and its importance, and, you know, actually correcting the census people and teaching me that, you know, like a lot of people didn't want to talk to authorities. They still don't in the Black community for obvious reasons. You know, we've been oppressed so greatly, and information that is collected about us is usually always like, oh, we're just trying to help you. And then like we find out later that it was a Trojan horse the whole time. So a lot of misinformation was purposely given to government agencies and interviewers and things of that nature, just to protect the community. So I learned a lot about, you know, hoodoo, and I showed her a lot of hoodoo, popular hoodoo personalities online. I mean, it was hilarious. So, you know, I'm so grateful that I got a chance to discuss these things with my grandmother and my elders. I also had an older cousin. She also inspired me to follow up with another book about root work. She was a root worker since the early 50s. But she would never call herself that. Again, this is not something that you just broadcast. And she did the job for 40 years. That's how she made her living. She raised 6 children off of her work, her workings as a root worker. And she was damn good. She served people of all races, socioeconomic classes in South Carolina. But she would, if you asked her like, oh, so tell me about Hoodoo. I don't know nothing about that girl.
Right.
Okay. It just wasn't done. But I had strategies to go around that. See, in my 20s, I didn't. I just wanted to pull out a notebook and say, okay, talk to me about it. And I got frustrated with the fact that they wouldn't talk. And it's just like, well, maybe I should try an indirect approach because they're accustomed to hiding. When I discuss things without the note in my hand, because I was told many times to put the damn note.
Tiana, one of the things too that I totally relate to is there's something about our ancestry that we have deemed shameful. I mean, I'm not kidding with you about the fact that for up until my uncle, 93-year uncle died, passed away, and I had to go visit him. Because I started to see all these people with my last name in South America. I mean, the internet, think about it, right? So I get an email from somebody, and I was in a language that I didn't read. And so I took it to a friend, and it was somebody from Brazil asking me if I'm family.
Wow.
And I said, no. And then I said to my uncle, I said, I'm coming to see you because I don't know, 93. I don't know how long he's got. And I said, I'm coming to see you in person. You have to tell me why things were kept a secret. And I went and I sat down with him and he showed me all the pictures of my family, but you know, you can't hide on the internet now.
Nope.
And then I went even further. So he said to me, this is shame, right? He said to me, well, you know, your grandfather on the Basili side, you know, he had a brother. I said, no, I did not know grandpa had a brother. So there you go. That's thing one.
Right.
Who went to Brazil, who was, and I said, well, that explains that, but it doesn't explain my mom. And why my mom's side of the family, you know, telling everybody you're Italian, but you don't look at, you got like these blue eyes and like what? And I said, so I don't understand. And he said, well, they're just not what you think. But fast forward to where we are today. And I start Googling the heck out of things. And I find a birth certificate of my mom's dad. Where do you think this man was born? São Paulo, Brazil.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
So secrets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And so this is not the new decade of secrets. And I don't think it's a mistake you and I are talking. We're talking about this, especially about what this knowledge and essence can connect us to. And the way that you created the tarot and the imagery in this, it is so heart opening and yet a heart deepening that I'm just stunned by the imagery of these. How did this come to you?
Well, my illustrator, who is phenomenal, Caitlin Foyze, the artist, is, it speaks for itself. I mean, she's just tremendously talented. She's Roma, AKA Gypsy. And she was just so receptive to my vision. So basically I would just come up with an image. Like everything that you're seeing in front of you is something that either was dreamt or I sat there and literally just meditated on the meaning of the card, the traditional meaning of the card. And I had to just channel that spirit of that in the hoodoo context, in a root worker context. And that's what happened. There were some people, some personages that I wanted to put in the deck. I can't even mention their names, but I just felt resistance spiritually. I can't really explain it, but it was just like, no, you know, thanks, but no, you know. And I respected that, you know, because some people ask me, well, why isn't so-and-so in this deck? And I'm like, yeah, I know about so-and-so, but they didn't want to be there. So I was very deeply connected to the imagery and being respectful of what should be there, what shouldn't be there. And also wanted to make sure that everything stayed within the realm of North America, because mm-hmm. right now there's a lot of mixing going on in these traditions. Mm-hmm. So people are mistaking hoodoo for voodoo, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's not.
Yeah. And it's totally different. And, you know, it has two different lineages, a whole, you know, and I get into that in the book. But at any rate, going back to what you were talking about, these like secret identities, these secrets that we hope we all have and or most of us have in our families. The artist of the deck, she, you know, of course, because of all the prejudice with gypsies and the stereotypes of gypsies, she, you know, was compelled to like lie about her ethnicity sometimes. And, you know, and so she understood, you know, that tendency to obscure just for the sake of survival, you know, because of these horrible stereotypes and things. So that's how it happened. It's just a deep channeling, meditation and focus on my heritage and making sure that it's presented in the context of our heritage. It's nothing wrong. I totally have no problem with whatever people want to do in terms of their personal spiritual practices. That's none of my business. My job was to present root work as I see it. And anybody else that wants to create their own hoodoo books or tarot, you know, they can do whatever they want. This is my creation and my vision, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, one of the things, too, I want to tell people about is when I go through the book and, you know, what I'd love to do is I'd like to demonstrate how this works on air here. I know we've got about 10 minutes before we wrap up, but what they may not know about is there are each card represents something, either something like justice, but there's also a plant associated with this. And I think when we look at this and we go back to sort of the integration and connection of, you know, these elements, I call them elements. What we have is a combination that brings us to a higher place than we are today. And, you know, there are a couple things that make sense to me in a strange way. You know, I love juniper. Cannot explain it. I take juniper tincture, right? Nothing, no rhyme, no reason. I also do maca. And, you know, when I started to read your book, I was like, oh, I see, that's what that means. And I think that this is really, for a lot of people, it is worth explaining hoodoo, but more importantly, talking about what each card represents. Take us through what the cards represent, the deck, each different aspect of them.
Okay, so you have an image, obviously, and it can be somebody that actually lived, a famous root worker, or it can just be a representative of a root worker, or just something that is done within root work, let's say a certain kind of bath, or, you know, just also the political or spiritual organizations that, you know, that don't get kind of attention, because there are a lot of different elements in root work, but that don't get a lot of press. And that's, you know, kind of where I wanted to focus on, because there are so many people that try to lock root work into one particular time, one particular culture, or rather one location. It's a lot of emphasis on Africa. And of course, Africa is involved, but there's a suppression of the European and indigenous elements in root work. And most of that is because of politics, but I won't get into the political reasons why that is. But anyway, back to the cards. So there's an image on the card, and the name of the card, the name of the card that I've given the traditional card, for example, justice, is Dr. Buzzard, right? or right. The Hierophant is Bishop C.H. Mason, who was a famous preacher and root worker. And then you have a Bible passage. See, that's another thing that a lot of people that are spiritual but not religious nowadays, you know, they scoff at or so-called organized religions and things, but there is no way to apply root work without the Bible in a traditional way, in terms of how our elders did it, because this is a Protestant, you know, this country is a Protestant country. It was founded by Protestants, and you know, so the Bible became an instruction manual for root workers, because so many of the elders in the Bible and the fathers, the spiritual fathers in the Bible, you know, they cast lots and they relied on herbs. And so it was sort of validating their experience. So they used it in that context. So there you have a Bible passage there. Then you'll have plants. You may have one plant or two plants. And I also did that because we forget, again, you know, no matter where these traditions come from, the plants, the animals are here in North America. So the spirit of that plant is here, obviously. There are some plants that grow all over the world and things, but the context is American. And I wanted to also tie in, let's say, the root worker with the plant from their state. Now, again, the states, in order to really understand this on a very deep level, you have to understand history to a certain extent, I think, because there's so much suppressed information. And I tried to give as much as I could, but obviously, you know, I have a finite space and I didn't want to get off the subject. But that is really what you're dealing with here. So you have the plants, you have the Bible passage, you have a description of the image, and then you have the meaning of the card. And this is something that I wanted to do as well, is kind of bullet point, like questions that people should ask themselves when they pull a particular card, because mm-hmm. self-reflection is so, it's like 95% of tarot readings to me is self-reflection and intuition. Now, usually you hear the intuition part, but not the self-reflection part. How does the reader affect the reading? I mean, scientists are used to, you know, I guess in science class, if your listeners remember, you know, an experiment can be altered by the point of view of the person that is doing the experiment. And it's no different than in esoteric or occult work as well.
Well, can I share something with you? I know I got like 5 minutes left, but I as you were speaking, of course I read the book, and I decided I was going to do one of the reading spreads, right? Because there's something specific that we're getting ready to launch and crowdfund for. Mm-hmm. And it is quite controversial. Well, I don't need to tell you about controversy, do I?
That's my life.
No. But it is something that came so deeply from such a deep part inside of me and Jessica as well. And we had just come back from, shooting a music video on a song that's going to be released soon to end gun violence. And like me in a music video, seriously? Yeah, all you have to do is go to lovenotes.world and you'll see me there, lovenotes.world. But we had an idea. It's called AI for the Soul. Mm. And we know what it's about. We ran focus groups on it. And I'm at the place where I need to go. So I pulled 5 cards, mm-hmm. you know, for insight. And I'm just going to tell you what they are. I don't think there's enough time. Maybe you and I can connect later. But here's what I pulled. And I looked at the gonna catch a bird. Mm-hmm. I love that. Because I'm either going to catch this bird or we're not going to catch it. So here's right. what I pulled to help me with this. And this goes through the root of the problem, what I need most, what blank needs most, how we go about making a compromise final outcome. So I picked first 9 of sticks, second, mm-hmm. 6 of baskets, third, for what blank needs most, and I can't help it, I'm talking about myself, Miss Robinson, and then the 4th card is Mother of Knives, and the 5th card is Father of Coins.
What was the third card again?
Miss Robinson.
Third card is Miss Robinson.
Yeah. So,
okay.
This is me now, and I am going to spend a lot of time with this. But I was stunned by how I felt when I pulled them. That's got to be part of this.
So the question exactly was what?
The question was, am I on the right track in how I want to implement AI for the soul and crowdfund for it?
You want a short yes or no answer? Is that what you're looking for?
No, really, in my brain, let me tell you what I was thinking. What I was thinking was, please give me guidance. Please give me guidance on the most effective way to launch this idea that will help so many people. That's what I was feeling and thinking.
Well, I like to focus when I do those kind of readings, with the root of the problem, I always spend the most on, and I feel like people spend more time on outcomes.
Yeah.
The root of the problem, by focusing on that and being brutally honest about your energy reserves in terms of the root of the problem, is also mm-hmm. something that's often overlooked when people do readings.
Yeah.
Because you can have a solution, but may not have the stamina in order to bring about the desired outcome. So I would say that with the Nine of Sticks, is that what the root of the problem was? Is that what you got?
That is. And I read this, and boy, I'll tell you, it hit me, and I was like, you're absolutely right about it. I mean, the energy around this for me is I'm finding myself, I don't talk about the depth of the project anymore, is defending myself. I find myself trying to justify why this is important and why we're calling it what we're calling it. And I just, I mean, you talk about getting worn down from that. That's what wears me down. And mm-hmm. I picked this Nine of Sticks for that. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. And the Nine of Sticks can also, I mean, in my experience with the Nine of Sticks, it's not only would you need persistence to even get to number two, you know, I mean, like you need to be brutally honest about even your allies, what their shortcomings are, because at the end of the day, it's a card about persistence and sticking to, and actually living one's truth. And that could be exhausting, even for the most strong and capable mm-hmm. person. It can just get absolutely exhausting. You kind of give up based on that. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what you need to focus on the most in terms of your project, is not only the opposition or whoever's getting on your damn nerves,
mm-hmm.
but also looking at the people that really want you to succeed and are involved in the project, but just being honest about what their limitations are in relation to what your objective is.
Well, and I got to tell you, I am going to spend more time on this, and there's so much that gets revealed. And I got to tell you, this is for me, this is one of these shows and interviews that clearly we could have done another hour on, because there is so much. And one of the things I loved about the Nine of Sticks is one of my favorite terms is mojo. It is totally mojo. We're talking about, you know, creating an app called Positive Mojo and so forth. And when I looked at this and I said, well, there she is protecting herself with a mojo bag. I was like, okay, I get it. Tiana, thank you so much for today. One last question, and tell people where they can get the deck and the book. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with? And thank you for spending this time with us.
I really appreciate this time, and it was such a pleasure, and I really wish we had more time.
I know, me too.
Talk about this. My personal message is find your folks. Like, find your roots, whatever they are. And I'm not just talking about your genealogy, which is very important, I think, in just kind of getting a sense of who you are, on a generational level, just kind of clearing out some cobwebs. I think it's very important. I don't know many families that don't have, you know, just things that need to be cleared up. And now we live in an age of information. It only takes, you know, just a, you know, a few hours, you know, maybe a few hours every couple of weeks, you know,
to kind of look
into yourself and look into where you live. Find out about where you live. Find out the spiritual heritage of where you live. Connect again. I don't care where you are. I'm in Midtown Manhattan writing the Hoodoo Tarot, okay? It doesn't get any more closed off than this. But you know what? I have the Hudson. I live right near the Hudson River. So, I mean, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it.
I like that. Let's end it with that because that is our motto. You know, that is our motto. Look at us, right? Never thought I'd get out of the New York City, for sure. But here we are.
I still have one more thing to say.
Sure, please. Go for it.
And very quickly, is we have a tendency to lionize and venerate truth tellers and truth seekers after they die. That is not okay, okay? Please, if you see people that are really trying to get the word out about whatever it is, support them now.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.